There is enough DNA in the average person's body to stretch from the sun to Pluto and back 17 times. The human genome, the genetic code in each human cell, contains 23 DNA molecules, each containing from 5,000 to 2.5 million nucleotide pairs. DNA molecules of this size are 1.7 to 8.5 centimeters long when uncoiled, or about an average of 5 centimeters. There are about 37 trillion cells in the human body. And if you uncoil all the DNA encased in each cell and put them end to end, then these would sum to the total length of 2 times 10 to the 14th power. Michael, you have to help me with that. I don't know what that means, but it's a lot. It's a lot. Or enough for 17 Pluto round trips. So that'd be 1.2 times 10 to the 13th power meters Pluto round trip. So those are just arbitrary numbers. I'm not the greatest with miles. I think of, you know, maybe pastor or, again, like Brother Ty, somebody who flies has a lot more respect for miles. But I know that's a lot. I mean, I panic if I get out of Aurora. So it's just amazing to me that we are so uniquely and customly crafted that you could stretch each unique characteristic and identifying factor in each of our bodies and stretch it out to Pluto and go back and forth and do that 17 times. I love that in the Gospels it tells us that Jesus proclaimed, "Even the hairs of your hair are numbered." How precious to be so intricately and distinctively created to the glory of the Father, yet so intimately down to the most minute detail, those little DNA strands, known by your Father as well. The psalmist in Psalm 139:14, and I have a few verses here tonight. You're more than welcome to turn there, or, you know, if you want to or not, I'm kind of saying whatnot. But the psalmist tells us in Psalm 139:14 that I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know that full well. So we can just see in the simple natural examples that each one of us is so intricately made, the hairs of our head numbered. It's so omnipotent, only God, nothing of man, that we were so specific and custom created. And for what? For the purpose and the glory of God. Even before we came to be. I like how in Jeremiah, and I believe the Lord was talking to Jacob, if I remember right, and he says, Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you and approved of you as my chosen instrument. I usually read from the Amplified in case it's not something, if you're in the King James, as my chosen instrument. And before you were born, I separated and set you apart, consecrating you. And I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Then said I, I love Jacob because I can definitely understand him. Then said I, ah, Lord, behold, I cannot speak, for I am only a youth. But the Lord said to me, say not, I am only a youth, for you shall go to all to whom I shall send you. And whatever I command you, you shall speak. Be not afraid of them, their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. How this so applies to all of us tonight, family, for every great work, for every time we may get an opportunity to minister or speak the word of God. We know it's all him, just vessels to the use of the Father. You have to forgive me, I got a bad cold, so I'm going to be wiping a little bit. But the scripture tells us that even before we came to be, we were specifically and individually designed for the purpose and glory of God, for his usefulness. And so the message or script that I want to speak of tonight, it surrounds one of my favorite, I mean, Paul, you can't get enough of Paul, can you? You can just go through those books all day long. And I so love, you know, when he speaks to Timothy and guides him and trains him in the way he should go. And in 2 Timothy 2:21 2 Timothy 2:21. It says, so whoever cleanses himself from what is ignoble and unclean, who separates himself from contact with contaminating and corrupting influences, will then himself be a vessel set apart and useful for honorable and noble purposes, consecrated and profitable to the master, fit and ready for any good work. And so to be set apart for the master's use, I mean, there's not a more grand or a more precious blessing that can bestow on you. Again, by the grace of God, I'm led to believe that everybody in here has been used by the Lord. And I know you have to line up with me when, again, it's not even about the feelings. It's not the natural feelings, but it's just the feeling of the Spirit controlling you and guiding you. You'll be able to rest in the Lord. Don't have to worry about anything. You just let the Spirit take over and control and drive. And it's definitely a blessing to be used for his honorable and noble purpose. Hopefully, by his grace, we all want to be used, you know, by God. Again, I spoke to us all being in love with God, and I don't think you can be in love with God fully and be content in just, you know, playing the sideline. There's just no way. It's too good. It's too sweet. I think Pastor said this morning, you want to get in. You want to jump in. You want to be involved. You know, you want to fight the good fight. You want to get on the front line. If one's desire is not that, unfortunately, there has to be some aspect of the love of God that you're missing, because it's not nothing in you. It's just that love wills you to just want to do and be a useful vessel for any type of way that you can. The sweetness, the joy of being a vessel of Christ. Again, by his grace, hopefully we all want to be in on the action, the front line, not the sideline. I heard a pastor speak to her. I like how he said it, that, you know, sometimes serving or being used for God, it's just an occasional thing, you know, kind of like going to the game or something like that. Well, hopefully by his grace, by his love, we want to be used all the time, at any time, however we can be used to his honorable and noble purpose. Not, oh, well, God, you can use me this month, or you know what, I'm feeling pretty good this week, so you can use me. I'm not sore, I don't have a cold. You know, this is a good week for me. You can use me. Hopefully we're ready and willing to be used by God at any time that he so beckons us to. We all have the opportunity. We definitely do. Not only do we have the opportunity, family, but it is our sole purpose. And I like a little bit of wordplay sometimes on the English language. It's our soul, S-O-U-L, and it's our soul. S-O-L-E, our only purpose. We all have the opportunity, the reason for our existence, for God's purpose. What a phenomenal purpose it is. And I would like to take a look at Isaiah 43:71. And see what the Lord speaks to us here. There's not a 71 in Isaiah. What is that? I'm so he's not in this Bible, right? Is it? Well, they're sticking. Okay, so. Yeah, 43, and actually, if you don't mind, well, the reason I was kind of thrown off there, I took the verses back because I just kind of want to read in there for a little bit. So if you just bear with me. It says, but now, in spite of past judgment of Israel's sin, thus say the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you, ransomed you by paying a price instead of leaving you captives. I have called you by your name, and you are mine. I love how Pastor always shows us how the word of God is just line up online, around and around, always speaking to the bride. Already there's a mention of a ransom that's going to be given for us. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned or scorched, nor will the flame kindle upon you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt to the Babylonians for your ransom, Ethiopia and Saba, a province in Ethiopia, in exchange for your release. Because you are precious in my sight and honored, and because I love you, I will give man in return for you, and people in exchange for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, where they are dispersed, and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. And that's what I love in 7. And everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for what? My glory, whom I have formed, who I have made. Bring forth the blind people who have eyes and the deaf who have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together and let the people be assembled. And he's just going into 7 there. But so many places in the Word of God, and that's just one of my favorite places, he speaks to, he created us simply for the glory of God, for his purpose, for nothing else. I mean, a lot of times we're out here and we think we're on our, this battle is our own. We're here for our own desires and our own needs and our own fight and to get through this life and be successful and all the American dream. And you can really get caught up into that and get distracted. That's why he continually tells us just to keep our eyes on him and not worry about those things. But again, by his grace, we all know and here, these are things that burn away, rust away. The moths eat them. I remember, I think it was Brother Hill one time that told a story of a man who filled his coffin with gold bars and then wondered why the gold bars weren't in there when he got to heaven. That's because you can't take it with you, and we know that. I believe it's even been said before, I think how Pastor says it, you know, you can't even really take this word with you, not physically, but you can take it on your heart. That's why the Lord says, stamp the word on your heart. So we know that we can get caught up into that very easy, but there's a good example of God saying what we're here for and what his purpose. And to me, it sounds like God is saying, hey, I run the show. I think sometimes we overlook or forget that God is in charge. I think because he's such a loving and merciful and gracious God and so lovingly explains it, if you will. Not that it needs an explanation, but by the Spirit and lets us know why or maybe what the purpose of some things is. I think a lot of times, you know, we forget that he runs the show. He calls the shots. He's the potter. We're for his use. A lot of his ways. He indeed has no obligation to explain, you know, or to cater his will to accommodate us. You know, sometimes it may feel like that because, you know, we're first. We're so important. We're in this flesh. And it's got nerve endings. It's got a heart and a soul, and it pumps in there, and it hurts, and you can touch it. That's why Christ came down here. He knows. He experienced this flesh. Paul said it the best. I mean, just a pile of rags that high. And he has no obligation, again, to explain or cater his will to accommodate us. As we read, I mean, his will and plan is going to happen regardless. You know, it's an opportunity to take part, to be a part of it, to be glorified and have everlasting life. But by any means, because Aaron doesn't take part or Aaron doesn't believe, one monkey doesn't stop the show. All the monkeys don't stop the show. This is God's show. We can grow like Paul taught us to just be appreciative that you get an opportunity, because we know from the beginning of time, we have no right, no place in even being here. Simple grace. And he loved us so much that he said, I'm going to give the thing I love the most for you, which is my son on this cross. And so a lot of people, we get caught into a lot of things, making the world better and all these causes and you know, you can really get distracted by it, but for the grace of God, go I. But when you get down to it, when there's all these people, we know I mean, I want somebody to tell me the name of who can hinder or stop God's plan. What is their name? Joe, Bobby, Susie, Pharaoh, Nero, Pilate? How about Barack or Donald or Hillary? You? Me? Satan? No. As a popular term from my generation says, it's going down. It's going down. You can get down or you can lay down. God's plan is going down regardless. I love how Paul, again, so reminds us sweetly, if we go over to Romans 9, 21 through 23, and I'm pretty confident that there's a Romans 9, 21 through 23. I hope so. Well, what do you know? There he is. Romans 9, 21 kind of speaks to, again, him running the show. I love how he says, has the potter no right over the clay to make out of the same mass or lump one vessel for beauty and distinction and honorable use and another for menial or ignoble and dishonorable use? What if God, although fully intending to show the awfulness of his wrath and to make known his power and authority, has tolerated with much patience the vessels, object of his anger, which are ripe for destruction? And what if he thus purposes to make known and show the wealth of his glory? Hello? In dealing with the vessel, objects of his mercy, which he has prepared beforehand for glory. It's always dumbfounded me how the Lord knew all this, like, even before it happened. It just, we go through such great lengths to prepare stuff, just like Pastor was just talking about, like camp. And we, you know, we think we're preparing so far in the future and retirement. And, you know, our sight is like from here to the wall. We can't even see anything. And here's, God saw this before we were all here, just like laid out like a movie in his mind. I always try to give myself visualizations of the word of God. It's cool sometimes just to kind of picture what did that even look like. But it's just so sweet that he laid it out beforehand. And right there, again, the clay cannot jump up off the wheel and say, you know, I'm, you know, even the clay that's not perfect, can it say, you know what, I'm leaning to the side a little bit? You know, some things are just like that. Pastor's traveled. I just assume maybe he's seen the Leaning Tower of Pisa. I don't think it was meant to be made that way, but it was left that way, and we respect and appreciate it as the beautiful structure it is, leaning and all. I think if you straightened it up, well, yeah, then it wouldn't be the Leaning Tower of Pisa, so that makes sense. So I just want to take a look at the verse that was with our text and just dissect it a little bit, and that was that 2 Timothy 2:21. It starts out, so whoever cleanses himself from what is ignoble and unclean, who separates himself from contact with contaminating and corrupting influences. Are we in charge of cleansing ourselves? But for the Spirit, man can interpret these things 1,000 different ways, because we are all different and apply so much of what we've learned here in our, as Pastor said earlier, perceiving or perception of things. But see, when you just listen to the word, when you let the Spirit discern it, you don't have to try to figure it out. I don't want to say it becomes simple, but you can rest in it. I remember there's so much resounding things, again, just by the grace of God coming up in this meeting. I love it. Pastor Hill used to say something to the effect of, you know, you can try to figure it out if you want to go crazy. And I mean, as a little guy, I'd say, I don't want to go insane. I'm not, I guess you just got to believe it, right? And even as a kid, I would try to think about some things, and 2-3 hours later, I said, what do you mean forever? But you just believe, you know? And even when you don't believe, which I know that's just me in here, but he's faithful. I mean, I tell people sometime and again, I'm trying to keep pastors' emails to a minimal except for the initial one. But, man, someday I quit every day sometime, you know? And I quit. See, you got to get what I'm saying. I quit. But he doesn't. He never quits. He never quits. He comes along. Get up. You know, I every day, you know what? I'm done with this. I've fallen off of this horse. I'm dirty. My mouth is busted. No one's came to wipe me off or give me a hug or anything. Just mount you back up on that horse. And you know what? It's all right. It's all right to be there. It's all right to feel like you want to quit because that's just you. And that's what you're going to do. But by his grace, as long as we continue to seek him, by the end of the day, we're back on that horse. Hey, let's wake up and let's get it. I like to tell people sometimes you got to be prepared. You got to be prepared. You got to stay ready. Get up in the morning, read your Bible. Be prepared. 5, 10 minutes, whatever it is, read your Bible. I like to tell people you got to beat Satan to work in the morning. If you get to work and Satan's in the break room already with coffee and donuts, you're going to have a tough day. Beat Satan to work. Let Satan walk into the work room and you're there with your Bible spread. Ready. Let's go. What do you want to do today? Because I know who goes before me. So no, of course we know we don't have to clean ourselves. And by the grace of God, all of us in here, we know about salvation. And if there's anybody who didn't or might hear, by the grace of God, please inquire. Because again, I'm convinced that any and everybody in here would love to pray with you, love to share the word of God with you, love to definitely introduce you to Christ. But, you know, I'm speaking to my flock, my family, by the grace. You know, we know salvation. We know that we're not in charge of cleaning ourselves. Of course not. And the apostle reminds us of that in Ephesians 2, 8 through 9. We know this. We read it all the time. For it is by free grace, God's unmerited favor, that you are saved, delivered from judgment, and made partakers of Christ's salvation through your faith. And this salvation is not of yourselves, of your own doing. It came not through your own striving, but it is the gift of God, not because of works, not the fulfillment of the law's demands, lest any man should boast. It is not the result of what anyone can possibly do, so no one can pride himself in it or take glory to himself. It says, whoever cleans himself, ignoble and unclean. We know that Christ shed his blood on Calvary to atone and remit for our sins. Also, those who believe and accept Christ as the atoning sacrifice are washed in the blood. Praise God, cleansed indeed. And let's not forget that the cleansing cleansed us all over once for all. It did. Cleansed us all over once for all. But as Jesus so sweetly demonstrated to the disciples with the washing of the feet, we must wash our feet daily in conjunction with continuing to drink from the cup of salvation. Why? Because we walk in the mirror. We walk in it daily. As we walk in this dirty, strange, alien land, yeah, we get defiled. Because again, we're just made of flesh. The Lord knows that. Again, he came down in the flesh. He knows how weak it is. But let's wash our feet daily. You say, what? Take a shower. I hope everyone catches at least one a day, but that's not quite the type of washing the feet we're talking about. So you say, well, how do I wash my feet? Adhering to his words, his promises. How about studying the word of God to find yourself approved? How about just keeping your eyes fixed on him, letting him have it, trusting him? What about worshiping in spirit and truth? Seeking him. Ephesians 5:25 tells us, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with what? the word, that he might present to the church, to himself in glorious splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such things, that she might be holy and faultless. That's us, family. That's us in here tonight. That's us, and that's how we'll be presented. Blameless, clean. How do you wash daily? You're doing it. We're doing it. We're washing right now. I'm washing your feet. You wash mine. Every day, cleansed every day. So that takes care of the part. We know that those who accept and seek him, the word, are washed in the blood and cleansed daily. It goes on and says, will then himself be a vessel set apart. Set apart. Out from the camp. Isolated. Desolate. You think God ever needs to get you in a quiet, lonely place to speak to you a little more clearly? Yeah. Separate you from the distractions? What about just trying your faith that it's you and him? Just to let you know he's the only faithful one. Sometimes he has to remind us. Yeah, you got friends, you got family. I'm the only faithful one. The only one who is able to prepare us and make us fully able for his will. Separation. It's part of it, set apart. You think Noah felt separated, shunned and mocked by society, even his family? No one wanted to help build the boat. One of the truest loners that the Spirit puts in my mind that I know of. Jonah in the belly of a whale. Pretty lonely in there. How about Abraham in the barren land? Moses, 40 years in the desert. I wouldn't necessarily say he was amongst friends. What about Naomi? Forced to move to Moab. Husband dies. No friends, no family. Came back in his, I believe, in the direct bloodline, right, Pastor? For the usefulness of the Lord. What about Joseph in the dungeon? Daniel in the dark corner of a lion's den. How about David on the run from Saul in the wilderness? Even Christ, to me, had to walk this earth as the loneliest man ever. Many times even separated from his disciples. The closest things he had to friends, or he had to pray or speak with the Father, he would separate himself. Go and have that separation at time. My favorite is the garden. Even in his last moments here on earth, Jesus hung alone. We wasn't up there with him. Nobody was. Jesus took that passion on himself to do his Father's work. And we get a part of it and the glory from it by just believing and accepting it. It's too simple. And that's why you know it's omnipotent. It's too simple for man. There has to be more, right? Like Brother Ken spoke today, again, another precious thing, brother. I know I have to be cutting this pinky nail. I have to be doing something. Nothing. Nothing you can do. When he hung alone, he even questioned the Father. Man, why have thou forsaken me? How alone does that have to be where you even question the Father at that last moment? Where are you at? But it was needful, right? It was God's will. It was God's purpose. He has to separate you like that. And it doesn't always feel good. But take it. Stick with the stuff. As Pastor always says, stick with the stuff. A vessel set apart. Last part says, for useful and honorable and noble purposes, consecrated and profitable to the master. I think we are all aware or led by the Spirit to know what is honorable or noble, what being used for the furtherment of God's will, his plan is. I like to touch on the illustration a little bit that Paul gave to Timothy on the dishes that are used in the house. The ones of gold and silver are brought out maybe for a special dinner or occasions to entertain. They have a noble purpose. They have an honorable purpose. Or the wood and the earthen ones may be made to collect the garbage, leftovers, waste. God forbid that we'd ever want to or be content with that use. See, those things are cheap, easily broken. When you guys have dinner, I imagine you keep your china. Those little paper plates, I hope you don't keep them. Supposed to throw those away. That's not what one would call honorable or noble. God has called us to be useful to the master, consecrated and profitable. And last part of that, fit and ready for any good work. God will never call on us or send us into battle unlearned, untrained, unprepared. Maybe that's what some of that isolation is about. That set apart is where a lot of the training takes place, right? For any good work. For any good work. It doesn't say large or mighty or superior or grandiose work. It just says good work. Who are any of us to decide on what level God's work is? Good work. He decides. Who are we to determine our role or work or importance? The level, right? The setting, the time, the day, how often, how on display. The body. All parts are essential. All parts. If you pulled out one of your eyelashes right now, the next day you should not just notice, because I have really long eyelashes and I always have to pull them out. I don't know what that is, but that stays here because I use a little curly thing sometimes. But no, I'm serious, because they fall and they fall in my eyes. And if you pull an eyelash away, one will like almost immediately start to grow itself in its place, or actually eyelashes will move over to cover that little empty spot. How is that? God, omnipotent, all parts are essential. If there was any part of the body you didn't need, you could throw it away. You need everything. You need every part of your body. So I'd like to deviate in two things in conclusion. I definitely have a section of text I want to read, but before I go, and this is a little nugget for all of my peoples around here, you know, I don't pay much attention to this football stuff. Vikings in 17. I don't know what's that. But I watched the news a little bit, and I heard there was a big game that a local team won just a couple weeks back. And you watch the news, and you see who, probably the most, anybody, who's the MVP? You see Vaughn, right? Big Vaughn, stepped up, showed up. You definitely see the Duke, right? Or no, is he the sheriff? One's the Duke, one's the sheriff. I get him. The sheriff. Maybe you see number 10. Point I'm getting to is all these cameras, all this glory, if you will, is for Peyton Manning, Von Miller, Emmanuel Sanders, Demaryius Thomas, so forth and so on. The center's name, anybody know? believe it's Paradis, if you pronounce it right. Last name is Paradis. Is that right? Brother Greg, no. See, if he walked in right now, I wouldn't know who he was. Haven't seen him on any interviews. Wasn't on Jay Leno. Wasn't on SportsCenter. Didn't get a lot of glory, but he's a champion. What I do know about football is that you can't even start the play until the center snaps the ball. The way football works, Peyton can't snap it to himself. That's against the rules. I'm serious, it is. I read a little bit of football. Like I said, I don't watch much, but I know that that's against the rules. No one else can snap the ball but the center. So he is so crucial and important to the play that you can't even get the play started unless he snaps the ball. Might seem like trivial, small work. You don't know his name, doesn't get the fat contract, doesn't get the interviews, doesn't get the glory. But really the most essential part on that field. And he doesn't do anything else. The center can't catch the ball. He can't even snap the ball and turn around and catch it. Against the rules. I guess maybe he has a second task. He can block. But that's it. Snap the ball and block. No glory. But so, 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 so essential. So just something for my little local Denver fans here, just a little example there on how, don't worry about how you're used. You can't determine the importance or worthy or the glory that's going to come from it. Hopefully you're not looking for the glory, because when he put it on your heart and you said, I will, done deal. Done deal. It doesn't matter if anybody ever saw it in life. I love how Sister Liv and Linda and how we do the choir, and sometimes we get nervous and it's, and we're not doing, and is it going to come together right? And then, same when you do a special. What I like to think is the Lord's already heard the special. When you said you were going to do it, he heard it. Not to mention the 100 times you've practiced it until your day comes for the special. The Lord has heard the song. He's heard it here. So at that point, you just come out and share it and let the Holy Spirit do what he does. Let the glory be for the Lord. You may not get no glory here, but I promise you, it's coming. And it says that eyes, ears, mind, you just can't even fathom it. When I witness sometimes, I'd like to tell everybody, I want you to take a piece of paper and write down. I give you a muff. Perfect. Everything, how you think heaven is. Don't leave out one detail of what you think perfect is. What paradise is, what heaven's going to be like. What do you want? Take 2 months. Please leave no detail off of this form. Give me 100 things if you want. And when you're done, crumble it up and throw it in the trash, because it can't even be compared. It can't even be compared. The mind can't even fathom. I'd like to end tonight in 1 Peter 1:1. And if you'll just bear with me, and I appreciate your patience. It's just so much one of my favorite texts ever. And so speaks to us. I just want to rip through it quickly. Peter, apostle, a special messenger of Jesus Christ, writing to the elect exiles of the dispersion scattered, sold abroad in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who were chosen and foreknown by God the Father and consecrated, sanctified, I think we heard a little bit of this earlier, made holy by the Spirit to be obedient to Jesus Christ, the Messiah, and to be sprinkled with his blood. May grace, spiritual blessing, and peace be given you in increasing abundance, that spiritual peace to be realized in and through Christ, freedom from fears, agitating passions, and moral conflicts. Praised, honored, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord, Jesus Christ, the Messiah. By his boundless mercy, we have been born again to an ever-living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead.
born anew into an inheritance which is beyond the reach and change of decay, imperishable, unsullied, and unfading, reserved in heaven for you, who are being guarded, garrisoned by God's power through your faith till you fully inherit that final salvation that is ready to be revealed for you in the last time. You should be exceedingly glad on this account, though now for a little while you may be distressed by trials and suffer temptations, so that the genuineness of your faith may be tested. Your faith, which is infinitely more precious than the perishable gold, which is tested and purified by the fire. This proving of your faith is intended to redound to your praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one, is revealed. Without having seen him, you love him. Though you did not even now see him, you believe in him and exult and thrill with inexpressible and glorious, triumphant, heavenly joy. At the same time, you receive the result, outcome, consummation of your faith, the salvation of your souls. The prophets who prophesied of the grace, divine blessing, which was intended for you, searched and inquired earnestly about this salvation. They sought to find out to whom or when this was to come, which the Spirit of Christ working within them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories that should follow him. It was then disclosed to him that the services they rendering were not meant for themselves and their period of time, but for you. It is these very things which have now already been made known plainly to you by those who preach the good news, the gospel to you by the same Holy Spirit sent from heaven. And to these things the very angels long to look. So brace up your minds, be sober, circumspect, morally alert. Set your hope wholly and unchangeably on the grace, divine favor that is coming to you when Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, is revealed. Live as children of obedience to God. Do not conform yourselves to the evil desires that governed you in your former ignorance when you did not know the requirements of the gospel. But as the one who called you is holy, you yourselves also be holy in all your conduct and manner of living. For it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And if you call upon him as your father who judges each one impartially according to what he does, then you should conduct yourselves with true reverence throughout the time of your temporary residence on earth, whether long or short. You must know, recognize that you were redeemed, ransomed from the useless, fruitless way of living inherited by tradition from your forefathers, not with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but you were purchased with the precious blood of Christ, the Messiah, like that of a sacrificial lamb, without blemish or spot. It is true, he has chosen and foreordained, destined and foreknown for it before the foundation of the world, but he was brought out to public view, made manifest in these last days at the end of times for the sake of you. Through him you believe in, adhere to, rely on God, who raised him up from the dead and gave him honor and glory, so that your faith and hope are centered and rest in God. Since your obedience to the truth, the Holy Spirit, you have purified your hearts for the sincere affection of the brethren, see that you love one another fervently from a pure heart. You have been regenerated, born again, not from a mortal origin, a seed or a sperm, but from one that is immortal. By the ever-living and lasting word of God. For all flesh, mankind, is like grass, and all its glory, its honor, like grass, withers away, and the flowers drop off. But the word of God, divine instruction, the gospel, endures forever. And this is the word of good news that was preached to you. Thank you so much for just coming and fellowshipping with me. Such a blessing. Appreciate all the grace and love that you guys have afforded me over the years. Ask Brother Justin to dismiss if you don't mind.